Covenant, again, is not simply a deal that God makes. It is a divine initiative and is understood really in looking at that which God takes hold of and that to which God binds himself and to which he promises to be faithful. That's how you understand the covenant. And looking at that which God takes hold of, God in Jesus takes hold of all that we are. It's much more intimate than the old covenant. Become flesh means a covenant with the whole of who we are. The God-man, full of grace, takes hold of all every fiber of who we are. Which is why, by the way, there will be a resurrection of the body. By virtue of the incarnation, and by virtue of the incarnation, God taking hold of every fiber of who we are, and we being one in who we are, soul and body, we believe there will be the resurrection of the body. Which means, by the way, that we should love our bodies. Which is not always the case. We have a very ambiguous relationship with our bodies. If we were to look at our bodies in the light of the resurrection of the body, we might make some progress in that relationship. Very important. Our sensitivity, our senses are good because they are made by the Creator and embraced and destined for glory by the Redeemer. And the resurrection of the body means that one day, we will, if I may appeal to this cultural icon known as Paris Hilton, we will be hot. Never thought Paris Hilton would shed light on the prologue of John's Gospel. And what will be amazing in the resurrection of the body, the last shall be first, including my mom. We need to talk afterwards. What will be amazing in the resurrection of the body is that our body will perfectly manifest our soul, will perfectly manifest what is spiritual in us. Now, as we journey on this earth, it's not always the case. Sometimes you catch a glimpse of what is deeper in a person just by looking at their body, but not always. In heaven, the body will be the monstrance of the soul. Perfect oneness between the body and the soul. Perfect luminosity, and the spiritual will be manifested through the glorified physical that is our body. We can talk about that again at some other point. So we come back to verse 14 then, continue reading verse 14 and try to go a little bit deeper. And the Word became flesh. So we're exploring this third covenant that we read in the prologue of John's Gospel. The Word, the Logos, as we underscored the Greek term, the original Greek term that John used. The Logos took to himself. God didn't have to, because God is perfectly fine in himself. The only real explanation, again, for the incarnation is love. Love radiates. It was not because God was lonely or felt incomplete, because God so loved the world. And in Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity is Jesus, taking flesh to himself, assuming flesh, as we say. In other words, that which is physical, and thus can waste away, and thus is fragile. God takes to himself that which is fragile. Our bodies are fragile. We're both strong in our bodies, and we are also fragile in our bodies, which is why we need to protect our bodies. Just think about the different ways in which you can be hurt or overwhelmed by the physical universe. It's quite amazing. The Word assumes flesh, takes to himself flesh. That is how far God goes in his embrace, taking upon himself, marrying to himself that which is fragile. And if the second person of the Trinity, the Logos, God, takes flesh to himself, then in a sense, from the moment, okay, fasten your thinking caps here, then in a sense, from the moment of his conception, he is the resurrection. It's a little deep. The resurrection entails the participation of that which is fragile, of that which can waste away, in eternal life. So from the moment of Christ's conception, he is, in a sense, the resurrection. He has that which is fragile participate in eternal life. Of course, after the resurrection, that will be definitive and complete. The whole cosmos will be completely transfigured once and for all. But it begins at and with the incarnation. God allows Jesus to die so to communicate his love mysteriously through his death. We continue reading verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and made his dwelling among us. So the immediate consequence of this third covenant is that God dwells among us. God becomes flesh. God becomes human. The immediate consequence is that God is right there. God dwelling in our midst. The original expression, from what I've understood, because again, it's all Greek to me, is literally pitched his tent. He pitched his tent. He dwelt. He pitched his tent. It's a great image. It's so real. It's so tangible. It is so there. The Logos pitched his tent. He settled down. He made his home first in Mary and then among us. And more precisely, in us. In Mary and in us. You didn't realize that the second person of the Trinity has pitched a tent inside of you. You haven't even felt it. There is a tent deep inside in which the second person of the Trinity is really happily dwelling. So it's interesting because it helps us to understand that, in a sense, the old covenant was more God passing through. I mean, there was a real covenant, and there are passages in the Old Testament which speak very much of intimacy, but by comparison, it was more God passing through. In the New Covenant, which again is our covenant, it's more God staying. Thank you, Lord. Please stay. May we pitch a tent for you? He said, no, he did it. Thank you. The Lord stays. All you need to do to understand that is perhaps compare and contrast these two. The Old Covenant, the tablets of the law, which are symbols of God's presence. And in the New Covenant, the Eucharist, the perfect fruit of the Incarnation, the presence of God, symbols of the presence of God, and the sacramental presence of God, God in our midst. God so pitched his tent that he invents this presence so that we understand that, so that we access that presence. So it's really here in this third covenant, in looking at it really squarely, that we see what's really unique with Christianity. God takes the initiative to come close, and he becomes one of us, without, of course, shedding his divinity. The humanity is assumed into the divinity. They don't coexist. They're not side-by-side partners. It's God taking humanity to himself. It's insane, and it's awesome. Verse 14 continues, and we have seen his glory. And we saw his glory.